Mackenzie, Mac Redford was tired. Gloria, I'm done at the Stevens place, he said into the car radio as he drove like dust in a cyclone. He slowed when he saw how fast he was going and remembered he needed to set a good example when he wasn't out on a call.
How bad was it?
Gloria asked. You don't want to know. Domestic calls were the worst.
I think I need to, Sheriff,
Gloria said, and Mac remembered that Elise Stevens was Gloria's cousin. Hell, in this area of central South Dakota, everyone was related to most everyone, knew everyone else, and relied on one another. He liked to think of it as small-town living at its best. But Hartwick had its share of problems, and this morning one of them had reared its ugly head. You know I can't on the police band. He needed to keep as professional as possible, even though he'd wanted to rip Harley Stevens' head off. Have there been any other calls?
Not at the moment,
Gloria answered. Then the radio went quiet, but his cell phone began to ring, and he knew he'd better answer it or there would be hell to pay. Gloria was a nice enough woman, but mess with her family, and she was the biggest mama bear on the planet.
You're not on the police band now, so tell me what that piece of shit my cousin is married to did this time.
He got drunk and knocked Elise around. She has some bruising, but she kept saying it was from falling down the stairs. If she'd press charges, I'd go after Harley with everything I have, but she won't.
Hell,
Gloria swore.
I thought she would this time after I had a talk with her.
She's more scared of losing him and having nothing than she is of him. Mac knew fear, and it had rolled off Elise in waves, even as she'd stood right next to her abuser. It's a damn shame, because she's a kind person. Gloria.
I know. I'll wait a day or two and have a talk with her. I have one more button to push, but it's the nuclear one. Thanks for doing what you can.
Gloria ended the call, and Mac continued toward the small center of town. Hartwick, South Dakota wasn't much. A single traffic light and a block or so of businesses that serviced the town and surrounding area. The town's lifeblood was whatever the fertile South Dakota soil that surrounded them would produce. Most of the area was cattle country, where hardy crossbreeds were raised. In general, it made for a quiet but hard life that led to more than its fair share of alcohol abuse. Firewater, as his grandfather had called it, to warn him away and to help connect him to his roots, was almost a plague in his town, and Mac had just witnessed one of the symptoms. His intention was to make a pass through town and stop at the liquor store to pay them a visit. Not that his professional problems were their fault, exactly, but it was best they knew he was watching whom they sold to.
Sheriff!
Gloria's voice came through the radio like sandpaper, and he was happy as hell to be in his car at that moment. She'd be fuming for hours yet.
A call came in on that anonymous hotline the state put in. They called us. It seems there's some sort of disturbance at the old Richardson place.
Mac pressed the brake and pulled off the road. I thought that was empty. Shit, that could mean someone was trying to use the house as temporary shelter or for God knows what.
That place is a mess.
It looked fine the last time I was by, Mac said, as he turned around and headed back out the way he'd come, making a right turn at the first road and then stepping on the gas.
I don't mean a physical mess. It's an estate mess, or at least it was for a long time.
Okay. Thanks. I'm on my way. He continued driving as fast as he dared. He didn't want to make a big deal of it yet. He'd received calls through the state hotline before, and they usually turned out to be nothing. Max slowed as he approached the ranch. A truck so shiny the sun reflecting off it was nearly blinding stood near the house, and a man was on the porch, huddled over something. Max pulled up and was instantly on his guard. The man rose, and Mac pulled his gun, opened the car door, and stood behind it. The man's shirt was covered in blood, and a body lay on his porch. From the look of the body and the amount of blood, it wasn't going to move on its own ever again.